Now we're moving on to Galway Thoughts this morning. You're welcome into the programme. And I'm joined in studio by a number of MEP candidates for this region, the Midlands Northwest. We have Fianna Fáil Senator Niall Blaney, Fergal Landy of the Labour Party, and Michelle Smith, Independent. You're all very welcome onto the programme today. We're looking at two topics, immigration and agriculture. And if you want to get questions in for our panel, do so straight away on our text and WhatsApp number. That's 086 3833 553. Phone Siobhan on reception on 091 77 0077, and email comments at goaibayfm.ie. So we're starting with immigration panel, and Senator Niall Blaney, I'll go to you first. The EU Migration Pact, it's had a mixed response since it's been agreed in at an EU level in December. So this is all coming down the road, whether people like it or not. And you might just give us your reaction to the pact, and what's Fianna Fáil's stance on this?
Well, Billy Kelleher and Barry Andrews have been very much in favour of the pact. The difficulty with the pact for me is that it doesn't come into being for until 2026. And there are serious strains right across the country at the moment. As a parliamentary party member of Fianna Fáil, we took Gordon Gorman into our party meeting a little over a year and a half ago because of the strains that were there at that stage in Donegal, a local town of Milford, which had two secondary schools, one primary school, GP service, with three doctors. And that's typical of many towns right across Midlands Northwest. And all were full to the brim. And shortly after that, Leo Varadkar announced that more monies be announced for schools and these hospital services. And all counties across the Western Seaboard now are really feeling the pinch because these services are really under strain. People can't come into these areas to come back home to live that have gone overseas for a number of years.
Okay, so will the pact, will this improve the situation?
In the short term, no. There needs to be a more joined up approach at government level. I really feel at this stage frustrated by Roderick O'Gorman's approach here because there's not enough consultation with locals.
Fianna Fáil are in government with the Green Party.
We are, and I've called this out. I've been calling it out for a year and a half now. I've been very strong on it. I'm not happy with the approach by Roderick O'Gorman.
Okay.
I'm not happy with the amount of thought being given to how immigrants are brought in.
So you're not happy with the approach of government of which your party is in government?
Can I say this much? Yes, but we're not the party responsibility for that. What I'll say to you is
this. You all agreed to a programme for government.
I'll say this much
to you. That's an awful cop-out now, in fairness, Senator Blaney.
We depend on immigrants to do the jobs that some no longer want to do. If we hadn't got them in the morning, our health services would fall.
Okay,
but there are many coming in that actually could be working in the workforce,
okay,
and we could streamline much more and have them contributing to society.
That's the short term, right? In 2 years' time, when this law is being forced to be implemented by member states, will it have the necessary impact?
It's too late at that stage. We are, as we've seen in the last number of days, the minister's now saying there's 80% of what's coming in come across the border. We need a new approach here, and it has to happen fast.
Okay, we're also joined in studio by an independent candidate in the European elections, Michelle Smith. It would have came to my attention during the protests in Ballinrobe, Michelle.
Yes.
What do you make of what you've heard there from Senator Blaney and the EU Migration Pact?
It's pure hypocrisy. A Fianna Fáil representative can't come in here. Like, why doesn't he stand with the people and strip him back from Fianna Fáil and run as independent or join up with other people in the same mind? There is no point being under a party whip if you're not going to represent this people. Like, there, every town and village is being affected by this. And what I done in Ballinrobe publicly overturned the government, and it didn't come as this right-wing crack or what everybody is being labelled as an extremist. It came from a business-minded, level-headed approach for people to come together and voice their concerns. Out of 3,000 people in Ballinrobe, we had 2,600 signatures and overturned the government in 16 hours.
Mm.
And publicly, your leader, Micheál Martin, publicly stated that we did not overturn them. We did. And it was a whole rising then as to, okay, business people can be heard. I was on the phone there to representatives from Business Park and N5 Retail in Castlebar, and we have seen such a huge loss and turnover in figures. They're not looking at the bigger picture here. Mm. And it's going to take someone who is not under a party whip to get the job done.
Just to give people a bit more context on the situation in Ballinrobe, it was earmarked for originally Ukrainian families, then...
We got a letter from the Department of Integration. It was put up on Councillor Michael Burke's...
But before that?
50 meals on the Thursday.
Okay.
We were told on the Friday by the local county councillors that this was happening and it was set in stone.
What was the issue with having international protection applicants in there?
No, none whatsoever. So what we done was...
What was your issue in Ballinrobe?
We fought for families who were seeking asylum, and that was a whole turning point.
Against who? Who were you against going into Garrett's Hotel?
There was meant to be 50 males coming into
the town. The problem with that?
Well, if we look at it logically, these people that are coming in, 38-year-old a week, to stand in a commuter town that businesses have already closed, what are they going to do all day? And 2 feet away from a creche is not... The locations where they're placing them has not been thought out. Mm. And I do agree with some of Niall's points. It has to be a collective approach to this. But it's cost... There's 1,907 males come into this country. And now we know that 80% have come through the north. That's costing the taxpayer 939,000.
What does it matter what gender they are?
Because it's a huge thing. People don't know... If people
What's
are
the implication
in,
here, Michelle? What's the implication if they're
the
men?
The implication is genuine fear.
Are and you scaremongering with that?
No, I'm not. I'm not. And what I'm doing is looking out for the people in communities who are speaking up. But this has to be coming at the homeless approach as well. 70% of homeless people in this country are renters. Mm. Rents have doubled in Ballinrobe and around Midlands Northwest alone.
Okay. I want to bring in Fergal Landy, the Labour MEP candidate, to this. Fergal, what are you making of what you're hearing so far?
Thanks, John. I suppose what I'm hearing so far would concern me a little. From my point of view, you can't really get out of collective responsibility. Cabinet collective responsibility means that the current government is responsible in relation to this issue, including government parties who've been in government for a long time. I'm also concerned just about the inference of males near a creche. I mean, I'm a male. I don't live near a creche, but if I did live near a creche, I think it's absolutely shocking that somebody would infer that that's a problem. There's something inherently wrong with being a young man. I have 2 young sons and they're going to be young men in a couple of years. So I do not accept in any way, unless it's the colour of people's skin you have an issue with. I'm not really sure, but like... being a young man is not inherently dangerous. Mm. I have, over 20 years, been involved in working as a social worker and in other roles on the issue of violence against women and children in this country, which has existed for decades. We know how it has played out to our institutions and in our society.
Okay.
And I think it does an absolute disservice to turn around and somehow associate immigration with the problem of violence against women and children. It's a long-standing problem in this society and we need to address it systemically.
Where do you stand with the EU Migration Pact, which is coming down the road in 2 years?
I suppose overarchingly I'd be a little concerned that it could jeopardise people's right under international law to come to Europe and to seek international protection safely and to be received appropriately and to have a proper human rights compliant response. Having said that, I do think it's right that at European level we have a proactive, long-term planned approach to immigration. Immigration is a reality in the world. In some ways, the bigger issues are completely being missed here in terms of climate change and conflict and fragile states leading to the movement of people. And the real role that Europe can play and Ireland can play in influencing Europe and using our military neutrality, but our political influence, is to actually make Europe a leader in supporting the countries where these people are coming from to deal with climate change, to build peace, and to actually create a sustainable world. No, nobody wants to leave home. We Irish people, when we left home for many, many decades as economic migrants and went to the UK and went to the States, people didn't want to go. They had to go because there wasn't a good life for them at home. So what are we doing to make a good life for these people where they're from? And what have Western countries done over many, many decades to actually create the poverty, inequality and conflict that exists in the countries where these people are coming from?
Okay.
And what has our economic development done to lead to the climate change that's causing these people to come as well?
Okay.
That's what I'd be much more concerned about.
Okay, I want to give Senator Blaney a chance to respond to all that. Are you shirking out of your responsibility as a member of a party that it currently is in government?
Well, unfortunately for you, Michelle, I'm not guided as a government representative. I'm very much there as a public representative currently, there to represent the people. And as long as I'm there, I will do that and say what I need to say.
But is it easy to say that type of stuff from the Senate?
It's not easy to say that when you're a public representative everywhere because you have to get elected again. But I'm very clear on this for this last year and a half, and I'm still very clear in it. We need to ensure that our communities...
Why isn't your government listening to you? Why isn't Micheál Martin listening to you?
I think Micheál Martin has listened to us. Rodrigo Gorman...
Why aren't they implementing the changes that you want to see implemented?
Rodrigo Gorman isn't handling this well.
There's three parties in government here. Yeah, so why aren't they all in agreement on this? Because your party included.
We don't go in and handle and tell Rodrigo Gorman what to do, move him about here and there and
but
everywhere.
But you all have agreed to a programme for government.
Listen, we have agreed to a programme for government. This is all transpired after that was agreed, and this is evolving.
It wouldn't be the first time that Fianna Fáil threw the Greens under the bus.
There are ministers with responsibility here. We'll take responsibility for our ministerial positions and we'll stand up for them. But at the end of the day, what I'm concerned about is my communities, our communities, that are lacking services for schools and healthcare and has not been handled properly. I'm calling it out and I will continue to call it out, government member or not.
Okay. Michelle Smith, I want to give you a chance to respond to all of that.
Yeah.
Just back to the point of the males and the international protection applicants.
I'm not painting you anyway, I'm just laying
it out to you as it is, Michelle. Is it a case that these males, international protection applicants going into a town or wherever it is, a small rural village, is your issue the fact that they won't be working and keeping themselves busy? Is that the issue?
It's the fact that they would have been standing around in a town with, as Niall said, there's limited resources in the town of Ballinrobe. But the one thing you have
but
to
are
realise
they, are
is
they standing around
for families.
Okay. Are they standing around because of international application rules that they can't work?
And
is that your issue?
No,
is that the crux of it?
Yes. And the businesses are already, but I do agree with Fergus. Like, the families who were seeking asylum, I stood up and I fought for them. And now we have three lovely families in the town of Ballinrobe that did genuinely need protection and to seek asylum. And they're in that building now. And this has to stop, this name calling. But I completely disagree, Niall, with Fianna Fáil. Every one of your TDs stood up for the EU Migration Pact and you all voted TAW, along with Fine Gael, along with the Greens. And there's independents in there who are sweating absolute buckets coming out. Like, where was everybody in the Dáil Éireann yesterday? It was such a farce when they're standing up, they're not being representative. And MEPs in Fianna Fáil have been one of the lowest attendance in plenary debates over the last 5 years, and especially this year. And it's not just Fianna Fáil. Maria Walsh has attended 8 plenary debates. When you look at Mick Wallace, he's attended 78.
Okay, but they're not here to defend themselves.
What I'm saying is the attendance by the people who are represented by these parties are completely low. And there's no job that you'd go into any country.
Independence done for this region over the last 10 years. When it comes to Objective One status, delivering projects and getting our fair share.
Well, in fairness,
getting Objective One status. I haven't heard one of them listen.
You've been in a coalition.
I haven't heard one of them raise it.
You've just
once over the last 10 years.
You've just met one person.
It's disgraceful the way they've represented us.
I'm not part
all
of
over
Independent
the place.
Ireland.
But you're claiming that independence is the way forward here. You're giving this big shining light that the independents are going to save the world here. but there's certainly no history that on this island or
when
in
you
Europe.
You ran for the Shannon, you got through on the 8th count, and you were barely there on the 8th count, and you've had your chance. And I am a businesswoman at the end of the day. I work very, very hard for my clients around this country, and I've built up huge support by coming at a level-headed approach. But I will guarantee
you...
What do you mean, what am I elected to?
What are you elected as?
I'm not elected at anything. Here's my point, you've had your chance. And I do appreciate
Martin,
that you're...
Martin, you're elected to something, Michelle.
Okay, I'm a 3 years award winner for working for people in this country. Thanks very much.
Let's keep it respectable now, if you don't mind. Fergal Landy, I want you to give just your response and reaction to both what Michelle and Senator Blaney are saying there.
Okay. Just on what Michelle is saying, I mean, we do this sometimes with homeless, with domestic issues around homelessness as well. So we talk about the importance of providing accommodation within our homeless services for children and families, but then less concern for single males. I really don't understand it. I mean, single males are part of our community as well. And I mean, my personal experience of single males seeking asylum is not them standing around, actually. I've seen them in Boyle, in the tidy towns, picking up litter around the town. Mm-hmm. I've seen them in my community playing on the soccer. I play five-a-side soccer with people in the asylum system. So I just really want to just be inclusive is all I want to do.
I'm going to come to you all very briefly now. I just want an abrupt and short answer. Mm. What would you change in terms of migration laws and immigration if you were elected as an MP? Fergal, you first. Brief.
What would I change?
Yes.
I suppose I would change the standards. I think Ireland needs to rise to the standards that some other European countries have. So what I would mean in relation to that is accommodation standards, proper inspection of accommodation.
So it's not to do with immigration laws as such in the EU?
No. I'm talking... Look, when you talk about immigration, we need to separate out asylum seeking here and immigration if we're going to do that. Okay. I want skills-based immigration to support the economy. Okay. And I want complete human rights compliance in our international obligations to have people come here for protection. So I want both of those in place and I want good standards.
Okay.
One of the problems we have in Ireland is how long it takes to get a decision, right? And that's been going on for decades.
Okay. Senator Blaney, what EU migration law would you change if elected to the European Parliament? Briefly.
I want an analysis done of all regions to see those places that are fully absorbed, that they start getting extra services, or else we say, no, we can't take any more. We need a full analysis of...
Can that be done at an EU level? Is there a way of doing that in the legislative?
There is a way of telling governments to do it and asking governments to do it, absolutely.
So should you be running for the Dáil if that's the case?
Well and good, but there's laws to be made at an European level as well.
Okay.
I'm running for Europe at the moment.
Michelle, a straightforward question, and I want a straightforward answer from you as well. What legislation would you change in terms of tackling immigration in Europe?
I would put the pressure back on to have everybody here in Ireland look at the Dublin 3 regulation and start implementing it. Enforcing it. And that needs to be done. We have over 7,000 people now that have been responsible in other countries and they're not being brought back, and work together as an EU collective to make sure that happens across other countries and that everybody does their fair share. Ireland were meant to take in 3,500 per year. That has not happened. So we just need to do it together, basically.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to leave it there for immigration. We're coming back and talking about agriculture next. What are your thoughts? Get them into us on our number 086-3833-553. Phone Siobhan on reception on 091-77-0077 and email comments at goaibayfm.ie. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road. A new way to car shop.
Good morning, listen to Galway Talks with John Morley, and it's time for a panel discussion, Galway Thoughts Part 2. We're looking at agriculture now and what our MEP candidates are looking for in terms of agriculture in Europe. I have one comment in, it's probably the only comment I can read out this morning. Do any of the panel home any refugees in their homes, or are any of them farmers? I think the straight answer to that is no, but I'll let them answer that for themselves when I give them their opening questions. Agriculture, I'll start on this side of the desk this time. Michelle Smith, an independent candidate in the MEP Midlands Northwest. Agriculture in Europe, what do you want to see change? What are you going to shake up if you get elected?
I want a whole EU collective and try and reduce. Now, there is a big problem with the inflation rates that are going across European Union, and it is trickling down into the Irish family farm. The cattle, the exports, the majority of our exports here go to the UK and France. We could see that go across more of the European Union. And the only good thing that I can see is nitrate levels have reduced by 7%, but the costs that are coming across the EU are trickling down, and we just need a whole broad collective approach as to how we're going to help the farmers here. The fisheries here, they've gone down by 45%. The processing at ports across Ireland, so that has to be really looked at as well. The tillage, they are suffering as well, and it's all coming from EU inflation rates coming down here. So I want to see more funding come through.
But EU inflation rates, is that not the European Central Bank?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's about the entire
What can an MEP do to tackle that?
Well, I will speak up for the Irish farmers.
You actually change if it's the European Central Bank? You can't do much in the European Parliament as an MEP, bar just shout.
Well, we have to look at imports and exports. That's how inflation happens, and demand. So,
but what piece of European legislation do you actually want to dismantle or change or tweak or bring forward?
Well, I'm not hugely in on, you know, going in as a farming and agriculture perspective. And I say that
out. You're running as an independent candidate for the Midlands Northwest, which is a huge, hugely agricultural constituency.
Yeah, and I understand that.
How are you going to represent the rural and agriculture people of this constituency?
By listening to what they want and for what they want from me.
So
from
give everyone what they want.
No, not give everybody, to listen what the people of this country are saying. You've seen the family farm incomes have significantly reduced here by 2022. There's been an influx in the dairy farming in this country, but actual cattle rearing and people who are working full-time jobs while trying to keep their farms going, they have seen an €8 per hectare profit compared to the larger ones that are seeing a €295 hectare. So the Nature Restoration Fund that was voted against as well by a lot of MEPs in the European Parliament, that could be looked at again as to how these implement changes are going to happen across Ireland as well.
Okay, I want to let Senator Niall Blaney of Fianna Fáil in on this. What would you change if you were elected into the European Parliament from an agricultural point of view?
Well, I've learned from questions you've asked this week that Ciarán Mullally is saying that the derogation is gone.
Because it's so reduced.
It's reduced 7%.
Yeah.
We want it kept at 220. To say it's gone and having no interest in it is a dereliction of duties if you want to be an MEP. This region, the backbone of this region has been farming, small farmers. I want to be there, number one, represent them, to have their backs, because nobody's had their backs in the last 10 years. And Ciarán Mullally has come down the road of his county MEP and Luke Mingflanagan and not given a goddamn about the derogation. That's an awful failure.
But the point is, if the derogation is going to be brought back to its former levels, then it's not effective, is the point.
The derogation is not being brought back to its former levels. If we can work with farmers and actually show the farmers that we actually need to work with you, but moreover,
how will that work in Europe?
I mean, I can say this much. Yeah. We need to have an appreciation for what they actually do in a farm day to day.
Okay.
So how it needs to start... We need to start with having a measure of each land holding of what the carbon absorption is on a day-to-day basis, till we start levelling up the debate, because farmers are getting hammered in the climate change debate, and it's wrong, because they do so much, number one, and number two, we can't have any improvements in the derogation until we have them working with us.
What actual changes do you want to implement if you are elected as an MEP in terms of whether it's grants, or what do you actually want to implement or change?
The derogation held at 220. Some of this country still is 250. Actually, it's not all down to 220.
Okay.
The EPA maps will show that. But then CAP, the last 10 years, the CAP budget at EU level has been dropping. That has to change, and people need to have, MEPs need to have farmers' backs. And I want to turn that around.
Okay, Fergal Andy, where do you stand on all this?
I just want to go back to the comment, John. First of all, I've three young children in my house, so I'm not currently accommodating any refugees, but I wouldn't at all be against the idea. And I just wanted to mention the fact that, like, I come from a farming families, right?
Okay.
The custom and practice was that the eldest of any family, the eldest male, usually back in the day, left the family farm. So my parents left their farms. So. But I live in a rural area in Mary in County Galway. So I'm absolutely...
What changes will you make in Europe in terms of an agricultural context?
Okay. I think a lot of how the problem, and it came up in the last debate as well, of how people experience government at EU level has to interplay with how we experience government at local level. So farmers live in rural Ireland, and health, housing and education...
Give me the legislation you would change.
I would actually propose, if I was elected, I think I would propose a specific universal basic income for families. I think the problem with the cap...
For farm families or for families in general?
For farm families. I'm saying it was piloted with artists here in Ireland. I think it can be piloted with farming families, because...
But from speaking to a lot of farmers myself, they don't want social handouts. They want to be able to have a viable business.
I'm not describing this as a social handout, and I don't think universal basic income as a concept is a social handout. The reality is fluctuation in prices combined with the changes they've been asked to make in relation to climate change means that they don't have a stable income over a long period of time. It can be up, it can be down. Problem with the payment system is there can be delays in payments, there can be a lot of bureaucracy and entitlements to payments. Mm. It can be impacted by international trade deals like the Mercosur deal.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is if farmers knew that they had a basic level of income, farmers are providing a really vital food production for us and also the kind of fabric of rural life. So by providing a universal basic income specific to farmers, what that allows is young farmers to take over the farm, knowing that the certainty and the stability of a basic income. And then when they make their money in good years, they can invest that into the farm and equipment and so on and so forth and have a viable business.
Where do you stand on the nitrates derogation?
I mean, my view is that with all the changes we're being asked to make in relation to climate change, all the kind of things like carbon offset and so on and so forth that seem like we're trying to get around the fundamentals of the problem. So do we need to reduce nitrates going into our soil and into our water table? I believe we do. So rather than trying to derogate from that and game that, I would prefer to actually support farmers properly to be able to make the changes that are required of them.
Okay, we're out of time on this, but my thanks to all three guests for joining us for Galway Thoughts in studio. Fianna Fáil Senator and MEP candidate Niall Blaney, Fergal Landy, a Labour MEP candidate, and also you're running in the Athenry-Oranmore LEA as a candidate, and Michelle Smith, an independent MEP candidate for Midlands Northwest as well. Thank you all for joining us in studio. We're back and we're looking at the sports preview after these.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
Good morning, listen to Galway Talks with John Morrow. We have our sports preview very shortly. First, I want to give you a bit of information about something we discussed yesterday, because the Galway City Autism Friendly official launch night is taking place in association with As I Am, Ireland's autism charity. Join them for a welcome reception from 7 o'clock this weekend on Sunday. It's between 7 and 9:30 in the Clybourne Hotel. So best of luck to all involved there. I know there's a lot of local politicians and different stakeholders going to that. So best of luck to all involved there for the Galway City launch of Autism Friendly. Just a reminder as well, we're coming to Clifton this day week, the 3rd of May, and that's for our Community Matters series. So if you want to get involved in that, please do get in contact with us straight away and email comments@galwaybfm.ie if you want to suggest anyone as well. From the rough and tumble of elections to Ollie Turner for the sports preview. Ollie, there's a lot happening this weekend.
There is, and it starts tonight, John. We've got the Galway Minor footballers in a must-win game against Mayo. They've drawn against Sligo, lost to Roscommon, so it's like the under-20s. It's very competitive. Only three of the five will be involved in the knockout stages. The top team goes into the final. Second and third will play a semi-final, so a draw or a defeat tonight wouldn't be fatal, but it would certainly leave Galway with a mountain to climb after their opening two matches in the round robin championship. The minor hurlers, they've selected their team to play Dublin tomorrow. That match is on in Dublin, so Galway will look to bounce back from a bit of a hammering at the hands of Kilkenny first time out. And the senior team has been announced as well to play Kilkenny on Sunday in Pearse Stadium. Some interesting inclusions there, including Brian Concannon, who will start as well in the forward line. So team news coming thick and fast over the last 24 hours from all the Galway teams in action. Galway United, they're in Dublin tonight. They're in Talla Stadium to take on Shamrock Rovers. That'll be a step up for them as well. Remember, they lost when they played them at home in the opening round of fixtures. So they'll look to try and get something from that game. It's been a decent week for Galway United. They're back up to fifth in the table after a little bit of a wobble where they went six games without a victory. But they certainly have bounced back, and they'll be hopeful of putting it up to the champions.
Definitely. There's plenty of other action taking place over the course of the weekend on the different fronts as well.
Yeah, of course, we've got Connacht Rugby and the Galway United Women taking centre stage tomorrow as well. Connacht are over in Wales. We'll have team news from them in a few minutes' time. They're playing the Dragons. That's a must-win game, John, because the Dragons are second from bottom along with Zebre. So you would think that Connacht will be targeting 5 points to give themselves a chance of breaking into the top eight. They're in ninth at the moment, but remember, they've got those two away games against Munster and Leinster to come in their last three matches as well. So that's pretty tough for Connacht to expect to get too much out of that. And the Galway United women, they're in Dublin to take on Piemont. They're flying it at the moment. They've played six games, won the six, two of them in the All-Ireland Cup, and four wins out of four in the league. So Galway United sitting pretty at the top of the Premier Division. So that's just some of the action that's on. I know the Galway Ladies Football Féile, that's on this weekend as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out through all the various divisions when it comes down to the final stages on Sunday afternoon.
There's a lot of other rugby action underway tomorrow.
The big one for Corinthians and Galwegians, who've got two promotion playoffs. So for Corinthians, they head down to Anacotti to take on UL Bowes. And they'll be in confident mood for that one after their comeback victory at home last week. And for Galwegians, they go to Cork to take on Dolphin. Likewise, a promotion playoff where Wegians will look to get up to Division 2B. A Dolphin finished second from bottom in the division above them. So they'll have every chance of pulling that out. And the Connacht Juniors are in interprovincial action against Ulster. Their first round match is at 2:30 in the city of Derry. So lots and lots of sport to look forward to over the next couple of days. And Sunday, of course, is going to be very much focused in on going Kilkenny in Pearse Stadium.
And that is, in many ways, a lot of people are saying a dress rehearsal for the Leinster final. Or is that disrespectful?
Of course it's disrespectful, but it's also truthful. And we don't mind being both. So at the end of the day, that's just the way it is. They're the two strongest teams by far. Galway need to win Leinster this year, end of story. Because last year was cruel how they were denied at the death. Deep into stoppage time with the last puck of the game in Croke Park. A brilliant match, but it cost Galway in the big picture, you know, because it does, when you do lose the Leinster final, you're invariably shunted into an All-Ireland semi-final, well, a quarter-final first, and then if you win that, a semi-final against Limerick, who've been winning Munster for fun for the last few years. So I think Galway would like to win Leinster. They'd like to have, if possible, you know, the Munster runners-up or whoever comes through the All-Ireland quarter-final, if that's the pathway to try and get back to an All-Ireland final. But it does start with this Sunday, and putting it up to Kilkenny. There's no doubt, looking at the Galway team selected, that Galway will be going gung-ho for this one to try and lay down a marker. Kilkenny have their injury problems. You know, Adrian Mullen, Owen Cody, on some of those players that have come off against Antrim, they're not even named in the squad as of now. So Kilkenny will be missing a couple of players for that game as well. So not that that should matter a whole pile, but in Pearse Stadium, I think Galway will certainly want a big home support and really lay down a marker against the Cats.
And it would be a huge advantage to do well in Leinster as well, because you want to avoid the tough teams in Munster. They're all, I suppose, flaking each other, for want of a better word.
And let them at it. I mean, and that's what's going to be happening again this weekend. Clare and Cork, after what happened to Clare last weekend, they looked to
bounce
back. What
happened to Cork against Waterford?
Yeah, but like, Cork were always behind, in fairness. Like, Waterford, they knew going down, and even listening to the Cork game, they knew Davey Fitz had a plan, and this was the longest of long grass that they had below for the welcome of the Rebels. So they got caught against a Waterford team who'd done nothing all year and all champion and all league. But for Clare, that was a different story. I mean, they were ahead for the entire match and were, what, 8 points up midway through the second half, and then just collapsed as soon as Limerick put on the pressure. I know there was a bit of fortune about a couple of the goals, but still, you'd have to think that for Clare, they would need more than a week to bounce back from the damage and the wounds caused by that defeat. But they don't have that. They've got to just go straight into it, and that's the beauty of this Munster Championship.
It'll be interesting to see, will Cork target the Clare backline, because they couldn't deal with it all once Garrow O'Hegarty went into the full forward line.
Yeah, and you know, I think even from a goalkeeping perspective, Clare will be disappointed with a couple of the goals that went in. So I'm sure there was a lot of work done by Brian Lohan during the week and tightening things up, and not conceding goals is a key factor. And like, you think back to Galway and Kilkenny last year in the Leinster final, Kilkenny got four goals, and that was ultimately what won them that game. So not conceding goals is critical in these big championship matches, especially late on, because Limerick seemed to know when they needed to get them the last day and got them, and they got more energy. They're, like, those goals at that particular time in a championship match are worth more than even 3 points, because of the way they get the crowd behind them.
I'm looking ahead now, but tickets, I know, are on sale for the Connacht final on Sunday week.
I think the stand tickets are gone already. Not that that should matter, because I think the weather has turned and it's going to be quite nice. So in fact, you know what? Being in the stand, you might be in the coldest place in Pearse Stadium on Sunday week. How about that for a sales pitch for Terrace Tickets? But Galway Mayo will have a big crowd. I think Mayo will come in bigger numbers than ever because they know that they're going well.
And they're hungry for a Connacht title.
And
as
they
well.
they need to win one. Galway in their ninth Connacht final in a row, which is an amazing record. Not that you'd even think about that because COVID seems to have interrupted everybody's mindset in terms of what happened there. They got into a Connacht final there without even playing a game. But to try and win three in a row, Galway haven't done it since the early 80s, 82, 83, 84. It's not that simple. Mayo, I know, were, of course, were looking to try and win six in a row, going back when Galway stopped them a few years back in the rain in Castlebar. So I think there's a sense that Mayo now have said, right, that's enough now, Galway. It's time to stop ye and your halt. And if Galway have been in poor form through the league, they've stuttered, they got a couple of wins to keep them in the division. Mm. They were nearly beaten by Sligo, probably should have been. Damien Comer came off and rescued them and set up the match-winning goal. So Galway have a lot of improving to do if they're going to put it up to Mayo on Sunday week.
Well, as do Mayo. I know you're really hyping Mayo up there, Ollie, I'm noticing. But
Mayo are unbelievable. They're one of the greatest teams I've ever seen.
They've been okay in spurts, I'd say. It's the most generous I could give them from my analysis of them over the league. And even in that Roscommon game, parts of that game were dreadful. And no more than we see the Ulster teams getting caught with fly keepers. Cullum Reap almost got caught a few times against Roscommon as well. So it'll be interesting to see will he capitalise on that, because I know Damien Comer, when he did come on, he made a huge impact and he was very clinical.
Yeah, and he'll be starting. You know, they'd go and need to somehow try and get Shane Walsh back into form, because he hasn't really done it at the highest level for Galway, I'd seen, you know, in an inter-county match since the All-Ireland final of 22. So, and that's understandable. He had a hectic 18 months in the immediate aftermath of that, with Kilmacud going all the way to an All-Ireland club and pretty much the same again last season. So is he well rested? Can Killian McDade come back in and play some part in this championship, or at least in the round robin? I think the championship starts really with the last 16 in the round robin and those four groups of four.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure.
Third round there is crucial.
Yeah, it is. They all are. But I suppose really in terms of jockeying for position and getting into the knockouts, that's what it's all about. And is the Connacht final the be-all and end-all? No, it's not.
In golf?
Golf, we're keeping an eye last night. I stayed up to watch McIlroy and Lowry. There was just like two lads out in Esker Hills having a, you know, just tipping around for a nice game of a friendly match. Zurich Classic of New Orleans. The two Irish lads are playing as a team, 11 under par. They're the ones to beat.
Thank you for joining us, Ollie, for Sport. That is where we make our leave for the programme for today. And we still have a very busy programme ahead on Monday morning. I can tell you our Galway greats. She's a wonderful lady, Mary Bennett. Tune in for that from 11 o'clock on Monday morning. And there's a whole show planned as well. But that's where we make our leave for this morning. My thanks to Sean O'Malkieran, who produced, Siobhan, who took your phones on reception. Up next is Ronan Lardner with the Livewire. Stay safe and have a very good afternoon from all of us here on Galway Talks.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motorball. Visit Windsor Motorball Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.